Tonight's puja is in honour of Bhante Urgyen Sangharakshita, who I'm sure probably all of you know died, what is it now? I've lost track of time completely. 2 weeks ago, is it? Something like that. And I thought it was very important that we honoured him with such a big gathering of men here on this particular occasion, because who was it that inaugurated what we now call great gatherings, but which in those days he called men's events? None other than Sangharakshita. I think the first one was that we had with it something like 1976, 1977 or 1978, something like that. He had this had a very particular idea of what he wanted, which was a he called it an event. He said, it's not quite a retreat, but it's not a retreat. It's an event, almost like it's a kind of happening. If those of you who, no, none of you are from the 60s, are you? It would be an event where something would happen, where the Dharma would be evoked very strongly, a strong gathering of men, friends, mitras, order members. There'd be talks, there'd be pujas, there'd be study groups, there'd be communication. It would be like a sort of, almost like a sort of festival of some kind. In those days, a full men's event, we'd have to have the shrine room in those days at Padmaloka was in the front of the house, one of those rooms at the front of the main house. But for men's events, because there were so many people, we had to have it in the retreat centre lounge. The shrine was where the tea counter now is. Bhante used to lead the pujas and introduce the talks, and he used to slip through the kitchen, it was still the kitchen then, through that door, you know, pop in. And we think, wow, we're really doing it. There's 30 people here, 40 people here. So he would be obviously delighted that there are so many of you here from all over the Tree Ratna world, and even people who come from as far away as Sweden for this event this weekend. He'd be so pleased because he really believed passionately in that great teaching of the Buddha that the Sangha will grow, will flourish if it meets regularly and in large numbers. And he was a great believer in people not simply identifying with their local centre, good though that is, but they identified with something much wider than that, so that they could see that the spiritual life, the Dharma life, that what we used to call the FWBO wasn't just associated with what goes on in this local centre, good though that might be, but it's a rich and varied, a highly stimulating world that you can enter. And we had some terrific men's events over the years. Very often he would, if he didn't give a talk, he would chair symposia, as he called them, of three order members giving talks, and then you'd get his sort of comments. And I can remember giving talks with Bhante present, listening, and I always felt incredibly supported by him, you know, really listening, but always felt that there was great support and great interest, actually. Sangharakshita has a long, long association with Padmaloka. He founded Padmaloka. He came here in 1976. That's when Padmaloka was founded. It was different then. It wasn't as big as it is now. This came a bit late, much later, this part of the place. But it was our biggest retreat centre, our first retreat centre. He didn't particularly want to leave where he was living in North Norfolk. He was quite happy writing, but friends around him persuaded him to move here and have this retreat centre. And it really was, well, he used to call it his headquarters. That was the language he used. He had his secretaries here eventually, and he did a lot of teaching here. a lot of teaching, seminar after seminar after seminar. If you want to know where the PowerPoint is for his seminars, I don't mean PowerPoint in the modern sense, I mean in the ancient sense of, you know, the vibes. It's about, it's where the fireplace is, just to the right of that as you come through the big two doors. I can remember the first seminar I came on here was on Mind in Buddhist Psychology, which eventually got turned into Know Your Mind, this intensive study of Abhidharma. And when you did a seminar with Sangharakshita in those days, amazing stamina he had, incredible. 3 hours study in the morning, and an hour and a half in the afternoon. That's what you do for 9 days. Intensive, relentless teaching, incredible teaching. And he was really, sometimes I've likened it to swimming with water wings in the ocean while this great ocean liner goes past you and you're sort of struggling to sort of not drown, just the majesty of the Dharma just pouring out of him. Incredibly powerful experience being with him, being with this teaching. You know, as far as he was concerned, really quite matter of fact in a sense. He was just unfolding the Dharma. If you want to know where his study is, that's Surita's bedroom. Those of you who know where Surita's bedroom is, it still has the famous, celebrated tartan carpet that Buddhadasa put down when we first moved here. So it's a sort of holy place. You wouldn't think it going into the room now, but there Bhante did a lot of seminars. If you want to know where the seminar happened, which formed the basis for Living with Kindness, that happened in that room. I remember sitting in there studying that with him, and you know, even in those days, Bhante like really, really hot rooms. And that was actually on a men's event, on a great gathering, studying the Karuniya Metta Sutta. So much Dharma was communicated by Bhante here, so many significant meetings, many ordinations. This was our main place for ordination for many years. Surita had his public ordinations where the tea counter is. That was where he had his public ordination. So you know, a lot has happened here, and there's a lot of very interesting things about Padmaloka. When Bhante moved here, this is a very famous story. I remember him telling me this particular story. When he moved here, people were unpacking things. He was sitting in his study, what became his study, and one of the people helping unpack things came in with a set of block prints, printed on handmade Tibetan paper, but they were woodblock prints of Padmasambhava. And they said, "Oh, we found these, and we found them in this room." And Bhante said, "Well, they're not mine. They're not mine." It seemed as though they were on the premises, these images of Padmasambhava. And Bhante said, "Well, that's very interesting, because I'm thinking of what to call Lessingham House, because it can't be Lessingham House anymore. It needs a Buddhist name. And I've been thinking of calling it Padmaloka, the realm of the lotus." And of course, he said, this is the realm of the lotus, is one of the names of Padmasambhava's pure lands. Padmasambhava, like the Buddhas, lives in a land of lotus light, as it's called, the realm of the lotus. And he said, well, the fact that there are images of Padmasambhava here already, well, the Tibetans would say, this is very auspicious. The Tibetans would say, this is very auspicious. So we have a very strong association here at Padmaloka, the present community of Bhante, Urgyen Sangharakshita, Sangharakshita from Urgyen, which is where Padmasambhava was born, where he originated. It's also one of his names. And Bhante, Padmasambhava, Padmaloka, they're kind of merge together. So yes, I really want to us to honour Bhante this evening. He, without him, we would not have Padmaloka. It's as simple as that. We would not have Padmaloka. We wouldn't have men's events and great gatherings. We wouldn't have people becoming mitras. We wouldn't have people becoming order members. We wouldn't have Padmavajra. I mean, I met Bhante when I was 17. And I was ordained when I was 19. And he's been the defining influence on the whole of my life. A lot of people are asking me how I'm feeling. The last few weeks, people say, "Oh, I've been thinking a lot about you and how you've been feeling." I know some of you are friends of mine and you probably want to know what I'm feeling. The answer is, I don't know. I don't know what I'm feeling. I've been through so many emotions these last weeks. Feelings of vast kind of openness, a sense of ease in meditation, a sense of incredible gratitude, so many memories, so many recollections, so many things have passed through my mind these last weeks. I have a definite sense, though, that my dear beloved teacher has gone. He's gone. On the night he died, the day he died, we did a puja in here, and I had two distinct feelings. One was an image of a great bird, like a great eagle, flying off into the vastness of space. And I was just seeing a speck just going away into the distance. On the other hand, I felt Bhante was right inside me, right there, because of all the teachings and practices and the friendship and the encouragement, and yes, even the criticisms that he's given me, and the whole world in which he's created for me to live in. Both are true. He's gone and he's here. It defies reason completely. Both are true. But really now, I think after all the different sort of things that have happened and the incredible funeral we had at Adistana, and, you know, all the momentous event for so many of us, I just don't know. I'm a bit numb, I think. I think that's quite common with this kind of event. But life goes on. Life goes on. And one of the things that I often reflect upon in terms of what Bhante, what Sangharakshita gave me, and this is very important, he always insisted that I take responsibility for myself. He never, ever asked for any kind of dependence, he was definitely resistant to any kind of sort of guru worship or anything of that nature. I've got letters upstairs where he makes it very, very clear that I need to take responsibility for myself. Not only do I need to, but I can. And expressing enormous confidence in my capacity to take responsibility for myself and other people. And over these last days, well, very, very early on after he died, I could hear him sort of chanting to me the exhortation that occurs in our ordination ceremony, the traditional exhortation, where the preceptor, and he was my preceptor, tells you, having well observed the three refuges together with the Dharmachari ordination vows, appamadena sampadeta, with mindfulness, strive on. These, of course, are the Buddha's last words, his last great teaching to his disciples. In his case, he says, impermanent are all semblances, all compounds, all life is impermanent. With mindfulness, strive on. And the preceptor says that to you at your ordination. That's the message. That's the message. Carry on with your practice. be mindful, vigilant, alert, apamada, and make effort. I can remember it so vividly at my ordination. He said, as if the Buddha is saying, you just need those two things to practice. Alertness, mindfulness, wakefulness. Really aware of what's happening. Aware of what's going on inside you, around you. Really skillfully aware of that. And making effort. And if you have that, I remember him saying, your going for refuge will bear fruit. That's all you need, all you need. So I salute my teacher, Urgyen Sangharakshita, and I dedicate the evening to him.